I want to take a moment just before I begin to say how much I appreciate those that are visiting with us, your attendance here, and how I hope that you might have opportunity to come again in the future, and hope that the things that you see and hear are the same things that you read about in the Bible, and that you will desire to be with us more often. In the song that we just sang, 517 in our books, The Church's One Foundation, the second, or the top of the first stanza, the last verse, says, "Her doctrine rent asunder by names and creeds distressed." The title of the sermon this morning, as is printed in your bulletin, is Just Give Me Jesus. One of the major teachings sweeping through the religious world today is that of the core gospel. This is the teaching that says that one only needs to believe in Christ in order to be a Christian. They tell us, those who hold to this idea, that the matters of doctrine are not as important and should not therefore be treated as matters of fellowship. They make their argument, improperly might I add, from passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 5, as we have listed as our text this morning, where Paul plainly says that he determined to know nothing among them except Christ and Him crucified. But what does that statement mean? Does it mean that doctrine is not important? Does it simply mean to mention Christ in a sermon is preaching Him? Well, we can answer that question, or those questions, by looking at the things which Paul did preach. He tells us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Those who put forth the idea of "just give me Jesus" are the same group that says "give me the man and not the plan." They want to follow Jesus, or their idea of Jesus and how wonderful everything is, if you just love Jesus. And it's wonderful to love Jesus, but we need to understand that while we are here preaching and teaching Jesus, what it means to preach Christ. Preaching Christ means preaching the gospel. Part of preaching is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning in verse 1, we'll read four verses. We'll see what Paul, under inspiration, said to the people there. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We see that that's what Paul received, that's what he preached, that's what they were to keep in memory. And if they did not keep that in memory, they would be believing in vain. The fundamental belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ's foundation is the foundation of Christianity. It is imperative to our willingness to follow the Word of God. If we do not believe that Jesus came, that He died, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected, we have no reason to be following Christianity. We can see this in passages such as John chapter 8 and verse 24. It's where Jesus spoke to his disciples. He spoke to those who were following him, any that would listen. This fundamental principle must be taught. It is the foundation of the gospel. Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Our school systems should not advance or promote its students from the lower grades until they learn the fundamentals. Somebody came up with a brilliant idea back a few years ago, no student left behind. And so in order to implement that program, they said, okay, we're going to pass everybody. And kids coming out of school today, a few years back, I don't know about today, but a few years back it was reported they couldn't even read or write. I understand that somewhere along the line somebody goes, this is not preparing them for what's beyond. And an attempt is made to go back to the fundamentals. I think sometimes the application of that is wrong in that they have provided the kids with all sorts of electronic gadgetry and not stuck with the fundamentals, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. If they got all that when they were in grade school, they would be able to handle middle school and junior high school and high school or whatever division that the school system puts in there. But we understand the concept when we look at our school children. We look at those situations. We say the fundamentals must be taught. The foundation must be laid. And then we forget all about it when it comes to religion. How can our children grow if they don't have the proper foundation? They don't have the fundamentals. They can't. How can Christians, and I use that word, their understanding that those who call themselves Christians are not necessarily Christians. Those who have not understood the foundation, those who have not understood the fundamentals, how can they grow? They cannot. Our belief is absolutely necessary. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us this. It explains that without the foundation, nothing further can be accomplished. What does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These core gospel teachers would have no problem with this. They embrace this passage if it were the only passage that is applicable. They'll say, hey, we have faith. We believe. So he needs to reward. Well, that's not how it works. If and when you find any passages that seemingly, listen, I'm going to stress that, seemingly teaches something which is in conflict with another passage, you better stop right there. Back up, reread, restudy, ask questions, whatever it takes, so that you come to a proper understanding, because the Word of God does not conflict itself. Heard somebody once say regarding that, you know, if you read two passages and they seem in conflict, then you misunderstand one of them. And I said, wait a minute. It is quite possible that you could misunderstand both of them. So you must look at the whole gospel. We cannot hold to part and ignore the rest. The parts that are convenient, the parts that are easy, and then say the parts that are hard. No, I can't do that. It doesn't work that way. So to say preaching Jesus means preaching the gospel may be a bit broad to some folks. And so we're going to break it down just a little bit. What does it mean to preach Jesus? Let me submit to you this morning that preaching Jesus means preaching obedience. In order to honor Jesus, we must respect his teachings, the things that he taught. He taught us that obedience was necessary for salvation. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Christ, having seen the multitude and having gone up into a mountain, taught the people, and he said this to them, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Notice what he said here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that calls my name. Not everyone that puts a little insignia on the back of their car. We saw someone this morning. Had a sticker or a frame around their license plate that said American by birth, Christian by the grace of God. And when they came to an intersection where we turned off to come to the Mooresville Church of Christ, I was hollering at them, hey, you missed your turn. The point that I was making, they were going somewhere to worship. They called themselves Christians. They are the ones who ascribe to this idea of just give me Jesus. And don't practice obedience. The reason, possibly, that they don't practice obedience is somebody's not preaching obedience. Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice here that we are to do, not just believe. Now, belief is important. It's absolutely necessary. It's fundamental. But we must also obey. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, he's speaking to his disciples. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do those things which I have told you. How can we better show our love for Christ than to keep his commandments? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we find that the Apostle Paul taught the same thing under inspiration of the Spirit. He had given them the admonition to withdraw from those who would not follow the doctrine of Christ. And then he says, and if any man obey not our word and by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. But then he makes sure that we have all the instruction, yet not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. This, believe it or not, was designed to cause that errant brother to properly obey. Today, people fail to preach obedience when they fail to preach that we should mark some people, that we should note them, that we should have no company with him, that we might bring it to their attention that they might be ashamed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul gives this direction to the Thessalonian brethren. This is regarding that which will happen at the end. The question about what's going to happen after it's all over. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice what's going to occur. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's the first point. And secondly, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the punishment for not obeying. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. The book of James teaches the same thing. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, it's pointed out so that we might know how to identify those that believe. We need to understand that we can see them and know them by their actions. Yea, a man shall say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The way I live, the things I do, the things I say, the things I participate in should magnify the fact that I have faith. Should make it readily apparent to everyone. If you want to see what somebody really believes, follow them around for about 4 days without them knowing that you're following them around. But, I'm sorry, don't do that. It's called stalking. But watch people, and you can tell what kind of person they are in short order. So preaching Jesus means preaching obedience. Therefore, preaching Jesus must also mean preaching about his kingdom. Let's look at the preaching of Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. We see that he preached Christ. We see where he went. We'll see what he did. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now we do not know exactly what he said. We do not know exactly what words came out of his mouth. We know that they were supplied for him because they did not have the complete written, revealed word of God at this point. But we do know some things. We know the results. The record in Acts of this preacher's actions also says that he preached things concerning the kingdom. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Here it tells us what he preached. It also tells us that because of what he preached, they believed. But notice what they also did. They also obeyed. We know this because they were being baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "But when they believed, Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God." So we see who was there, what he was doing, and we see their actions. He was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Not only did he preach about the kingdom, but he preached how to get into the kingdom. Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Well, it is. But you need to understand. And the way that you understand is someone preaches and teaches these things. This was part of Philip preaching Christ to them. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, and we'll see at the same thing, or this, we will see the same thing at a different location and with a different individual. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Here, once again, we have no idea. Well, I'm sorry, we do have an idea. We don't know the exact words that Philip used. But we know that he preached unto him Jesus. And we can see by the request and the subsequent actions of the one to whom he was preaching that he preached baptism. And he preached that it was necessary to obey, or this man would not have done so. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Of course, he was asked another question. Did he believe? Was he willing to confess? He was. He did. He went down into the water with Philip, and he was baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing because now he was a child of God, because someone preached unto him Jesus. You can't teach Jesus without teaching about the church that he died to establish. It is impossible. If you do, then you begin to ascribe, as do some, about just give me Jesus. Don't give me the plan, don't give me the doctrine, don't give me all this other stuff. Just give me Jesus. Let me feel good in my heart. It doesn't work that way. Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, in speaking to the Ephesian elders, tells us that Christ died to purchase the church, which is the kingdom, and he did so. He purchased it with his own blood. Of course, you also see here a warning to these elders. "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." So preaching Jesus means preaching about the kingdom. So far we've seen that preaching Jesus means preaching obedience. We see that preaching Jesus means preaching about the kingdom. But preaching Jesus also requires preaching impending judgment. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, we'll see that Jesus Christ himself taught about the judgment day. He gave a warning to those that were there, those that would listen. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We've already seen that when he does come, that he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel, as we have pointed out in 2 Thessalonians. But he said in John chapter 12, verse 48, in response to the chief rulers that believed on him but would not follow him because of their fear of men, these words: "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We want to know the rules, or that the law by which we will be judged. We have not an excuse because it's been provided for us. We need to understand that we will be judged. And as we are judged, we will be judged by the word that Jesus Christ gave us. We have it compiled for us, recorded for us, so that we might prepare ourselves by preaching obedience and by preaching the kingdom. The Apostle Paul taught about the judgment day. In Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, Paul, who was a prisoner, had appealed to Caesar. He was held captive for teaching and preaching. He was given audience to Felix the governor, and we know what happened there. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." Notice here that judgment was included in the content of Paul's preaching. Paul was preaching Jesus. Paul was preaching faith in Jesus. Paul was preaching obedience. Paul was preaching about the kingdom, but Paul was also preaching about judgment. Notice. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. It caused Felix to tremble. We should all tremble when we contemplate judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we have the assurance that all will be judged. How can we preach Christ without contemplating standing before Him to be judged? That particular passage, 2 Corinthians 5:10, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We see that Paul wasn't the only one to preach about the judgment. Peter did too in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. He reminded us that the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up, and that all things temporal will be dissolved. He reminds us also how we should be found in Christ at that time. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him without peace, or in peace, without spot, and blameless." The judgment should be in our thoughts and our minds, especially as we preach Christ. Friends, many do not like to hear it today, but preaching Jesus means preaching doctrine. It is absolutely necessary. People sometimes try to argue from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we should only preach about Jesus. They teach that we should only preach about Christ. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians all the topics that Paul hits in that same letter. Chapter 1 deals with the division in the church. Chapter 2 deals with apostolic authority and inspiration. Chapter 3 deals with Christ as the foundation of the church and with them, the Corinthians, being carnally minded. Chapter 4 deals with, again, apostolic authority. Chapter 5 with church discipline. Chapter 6 deals with Christians taking their problems before the world. Chapter 7 deals with marriage. Chapter 8 deals with things that were offered to idols. Chapter 9 deals with paying the preacher. Chapter 10 deals with things offered unto idols and the Lord's Supper. And chapter 11 deals with head coverings. Chapters 12 through 14 deal with spiritual gifts and the abuse thereof. And chapter 15 deals with the resurrection. Chapter 16, the closing chapter, deals with the contribution to the saints. Friend, there are many, many different topics covered in the book of 1 Corinthians. But let me tell you something. Every one of these things are the doctrine of Christ. Paul preached not only about Christ, but also he preached the doctrine of Christ. Notice these passages. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul writing to these Roman brethren, telling them from whence they had come, where they are now, and how they had arrived there. He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you." What had they done? They'd obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. So what then is that form of doctrine? Well, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When one obeys the doctrine of Christ, which is the gospel, he or she dies to sin. They're buried in baptism and they're raised to walk in newness of life. Timothy was told in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 to put the brethren in remembrance of these things as he preached the gospel. He was to teach the doctrine of Christ. If he indeed put them in remembrance of this thing, he could be called a good minister. I'm going to say this, and I would say this if some of the ones about whom I am saying it were sitting right here. Any man that gets up and fails to preach the doctrine of Christ is not a good minister. He might very well be a good speaker. He might be an orator. He might be able to hold your attention as you sit and listen to him. But he's not a good minister. Paul told Timothy there how to be a good minister. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He continues to give admonition to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and 16, to continue in these things. This is absolutely necessary, because in so doing, we can not only save ourselves, but them that hear us, those who hear, those who believe, and those who obey. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." It's amazing, isn't it? It says, here's what you're to give attention to. How many of us do enough reading? How many of us do enough exhorting others? How many of us pay attention to doctrine? Verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Friends, doctrine is important. If somebody says to you, "Just give me Jesus," stop and consider what they're asking. Do they want just a little bit of the gospel? It won't save. Paul was not guilty of the blood of those to whom he spoke to, because he never failed to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. What is our conclusion? Our conclusion is that we must preach Christ to the world. We ought to conclude that we have a tough job, because there's other people out there saying, "No, you don't have to do all that. Just believe, say a little prayer," whatever the case may be. Doctrine is important. Let us not fall into the trap of believing that all this means is to teach about Jesus. To honor him, we must teach his doctrine. To honor him, we must follow his doctrine. Now, as we conclude, let me ask you a question. Have you honored him? Have you followed his doctrine? Have you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine? When we introduced this sermon, we entitled it, "Just Give Me Jesus." That's what I'm doing. I'm offering a chance to honor Christ to you by allowing you the opportunity to be obedient to his word. Well, how do we do that? We have what is known as the gospel plan of salvation. In John chapter 6 and verse 4, we see these words regarding hearing. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me." We also hear in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that we are to believe. "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And somebody, one of these people that say, "Just give me Jesus," say, "Aha, see? Well, wait a minute, what are you going to do with the next few steps in that gospel plan of salvation?" We are also taught in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 to repent. "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16 tells us that we must confess. "He saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, we see that we're to be baptized. And this is as plain and direct as it can be. "The like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And friends, then we have to begin working. We at that point begin to live faithfully until death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, We see the Apostle Paul writing to them and telling them, showing them by this example, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He also had to believe. He also had to obey. He also had to hold to the doctrine of Christ. Perhaps you're here today and haven't done those things. We invite you to do so. We are able and willing to help you in this. But also, perhaps you are a child of God. You've allowed sin to come into your life. You've allowed that sin by being in your life to separate between you and God. Friends, you have a real problem. The truth of the matter is you have not been faithful unto death. And in so doing, you have not followed the doctrine of Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see the situation of regarding someone that is in that condition. The Bible tells us there that that person is to repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Our invitation song is What Will You Do With Jesus? Ask yourself that question. If you need to respond, do so as together we stand and sing.